What is up, Kangaroo Chasers, and welcome to another edition. The third in a row. I've done this 2 weeks in a row. I'm back. It's been a lot of fun. It's Chasing Kangaroos Live here on Facebook, and I'm, of course, Michael Carboni. You can call me Carbs. And this, of course, if you've been following along the last couple of weeks, having fun with me, listening along with me, or joining me live, you can join me live here on Facebook while I have these conversations. So I'm not like talking to myself. It is very strange. I am a little bit crazy. But straight after the episode, straight after we record live, I rip the audio, chuck it on the podcast so that anyone that doesn't like Facebook, isn't using Facebook, or isn't available at the time can go back and listen as well. This episode is going to be interesting, I believe. Don't know how long it's going to go for. It'll be as long as I am prepared to talk to myself, or if anyone has any questions, they can, of course, jump in and ask away whilst I'm having a chat. Excited because the last couple of weeks I've been talking mostly like NRL, and this is the kind of stuff that most other podcasts would talk about. So talking about could the NRL buy Super League and what that might look like, or talking about things like expansion. Things like that. We're talking about Vegas, NRL Vegas. This time we're going back to our roots. We're talking about International Rugby League. It's an International Rugby League topic. It's a pretty big one as well. So we are talking about the news that came out over the weekend that I see a few of you online talking about. And it's about the full members of the International Rugby League being reclassified. And should I say X full members? So press release came out, and hello to those who are joining the chat. Feel free to say hello, to ask me along the way. The IRL came out with a press release. International Rugby League came out with a press release a few days ago, talking about former full members, Ireland, or Rugby League Ireland, Italy, the FIRL, Federazione Italia Rugby League, the Lebanese Rugby League, and Scottish Rugby League, all being reclassified from full members to affiliate members. So let's go through the press release, talk about the facts, break it down, and we'll talk about a few things like, and this is what I'm interested to hear from you guys listening at home or watching at home, is this a good or a bad thing? What are some things we want to see come out of this? And I guess what each nation could do to get back up there or to improve. So what does this downgrade actually mean? Well, the biggest thing is, these clubs, or these nations, I should say, cannot qualify for a World Cup. And there's one caveat in there. But technically, you need to be now, as of this next World Cup, 2026, in the Southern Hemisphere, you need to be a full nation or a full member nation of the International Rugby League to qualify for the World Cup. The caveat there is that Lebanon, who are now an affiliate nation, have already qualified in 2026. Message from Sammy. I could write a book on what Lebanon should do domestically. Sammy, we can talk about it here, mate. I'm happy for you to jump on with me when I get to that point, or type away as well. But so Lebanon will be at the World Cup in 2026, despite not being a full member. Now, look, I don't know. I'm not going to complain. Lebanon performed very well last time. With obviously a mostly Aussie-Lebanese side. They perform well. They made the quarters. They qualify for this World Cup. Probably easier for the IRL to keep them in than to have another nation re-qualify. But to me, it doesn't take the spot of, you know, a nation, a full member nation, who could have been an extra spot, an extra chance for like a Serbia or a Jamaica or a nation like that to make it. Alan Taylor, good morning from Canada. Good to see you again, mate. You're here last week from Canada, from beautiful Toronto, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, or is it on? No, you're in Ontario, right? Good to see you. So what else did we get from that article? The nations were basically given, these four nations were given 2 years from 2019, Ottawa, Ontario, thanks, Alan. Two nations, 2 years from 2019 to be able to meet a certain criteria or standard that got them that full membership in the first place. 2 years from 2019. Now it's currently 2024, so it's been 5 years. So obviously COVID-19 happened. That's all been taken into account. IRL probably lenient with that. But basically, to be compliant or to be a full member nation of the IRL, some things that the nations need to do is have at least 4 clubs, which doesn't sound crazy, doesn't sound impossible, but 4 clubs with 6 senior teams and 4 junior teams. They need to play a certain amount of games. So a 4 club senior or a 6 team senior, 4 to 6 team senior competition would include, you know, like 5 rounds plus finals. So it's not crazy. All those clubs, seniors and juniors, need to be 13 aside. So the 9s teams or any 9s sort of clubs don't count towards that. And there also needs to be at least 250 registered players domestically in that nation. So Ireland, Italy, Lebanon, Scotland have been given a little bit of time to get back on par with that. They obviously haven't been able to do that. So just going through all of them, Ireland, really, they've had maybe 3 or 4 clubs that I can think of that have been pretty much playing regularly. You got the Longhorns, you got Dublin City Exiles, Galloway. So there's probably about 3 clubs there, so they fell short. Italy has been a bit up and down. You've seen Saluzzo, you've seen talk of Liguano Sharks and other clubs like that, but Italy has been doing it tough since COVID. Lebanon, in terms of senior clubs, they've got 3 or 4 universities. And Sammy, if you're still there, let me know if I'm right here, but they've got about 3 or 4 universities playing in a university comp. That's only just been re-established probably in the last month or so. So good to see them back. But in terms of juniors, not much else going on there. In Scotland, of course, they've got the Edinburgh Eagles who play in Division 4 pretty much over in the UK. But other than that, a couple of clubs around Glasgow, a few others. But it's just not hitting what they need to hit. So all 4 of those nations expelled from full membership, and given, I guess, the challenge to get compliant again. Now, the IRL will be providing parachute payments, according to the article, to these 4 nations to try and help them get back up to speed, probably similar to whatever payments they were receiving as full members anyway. I don't know exactly what that figure is, but I've heard things like... I've heard numbers like €20,000 thrown around, which isn't a huge amount of money. The IRL would actually obviously need to see what plans are in place before those parachute payments go in, make sure they're all on par, make sure it's going to be used satisfactorily. Alan Taylor, it's tough when you see what Greece has achieved domestically, then get the elbow from the World Cup. Couldn't agree more with that, Al. Greece is a good example of what nations should be doing, and I'm actually going to use them as example later on in this chat. Sammy, yes, the CRL, College Rugby League, has 4 universities, and it just got back again. I knew I was right. This is over in Lebanon, obviously. Sammy goes on to say, there are also 4 senior clubs, but all the schools and under-16s that existed when I was still living there have disappeared. When was that, Sammy? Let us know. You're probably there, I'm guessing, 10 years ago, man. I hope I'm not over-exaggerating your age there. But, yeah, interestingly, 4 universities over playing rugby league over in Lebanon. But the school's no longer playing. So those parachute payments, just going back to the topic, those parachute payments, IRL still looking after those 4 nations. They're actually going to help, they're going to also help FIRL, the Federazione Italiana Rugby League, with some government reforms. So FIRL have asked for this, as far as I'm aware. And, you know, the IRL have you know, helped out a few nations in this regard very recently, including Tonga and, of course, the USA. We've heard a lot about that in recent times. And I know Dustin and Rugby League in America, the boys, have spoken at length about that as well. So FIRL or Italian Rugby League looking for some guidance from the IRL in that regard. Sammy, you're back. I started playing in 2008 until 2014. So I'm not too wrong, man. 10 years. It's pretty spot on there. The first under-16s national team was set up in 2009. I was part of it, and we played our first game against Saudi Arabia. That's pretty cool. Interestingly, Saudi Arabia, one of the nations that have been completely expelled from International Rugby League membership. So Belgium, Denmark, Ethiopia, Latvia, Saudi Arabia, and Trinidad and Tobago all expelled, basically due to a few years of inactivity. So they are also, or I would say, you know, if not much is going on, then, you know, it's the IRL should be cutting them. In other news, Spain have been relegated to observer status from affiliate status. But in good news, Argentina has been accepted as observers. So another South American nation there who can hopefully go up against the likes of Brazil and some of the other Americas nations soon as well. So, look, lots going on there, lots to unpack. The IRL also, according to this article, and this is probably the final thing I'll mention from this article, the IRL also claimed to have applications for 5 full members in progress. So they don't say who or where, which nations have applied for full membership status. We could probably guess a few of them. You know, we've seen the Czechs and Norway playing some senior matches against each other, as well as some junior international matches for under 16s and 19s over the weekend. So I think probably safe to say that Norway and the Czech Republic, or Czechia, could both be applying for full membership status. I'd guess maybe a few African nations as well. We're seeing the likes of Nigeria, etc., Cameroon on the way up in all areas of the game, which is fantastic. And I'm not sure if these guys have applied yet, but the likes of Greece, the only thing holding Greece back, obviously they've got some good senior rugby league, they've got their women's comp up there as well, but in terms of the juniors, they haven't got their juniors yet, but I do know that is something they are working on. So Greece could be very soon applying for full membership status, and great to see. So I guess those are the facts, and let me know, to those that are entering in the chat and listening, let me know what you think about Ireland, Italy, Lebanon and Scotland being stripped of their International Rugby League full membership and being affiliate members, which means, apart from Lebanon, who've already qualified for the World Cup in 2026, it means that these nations cannot qualify for a World Cup again until they become full members again, if they choose to. So is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Personally, I think it's good to see that the IRL has grown a bit of a backbone here. They've given some nations opportunities to get back on board with their juniors and their senior teams, and they haven't been able to. Thanks to those that are jumping on the chat. Ask away any questions if you like. But, I mean, it's hard seeing nations. I'm going to say this, right? It's hard seeing nations playing in World Cups with mostly Aussies and English-born players. Now, believe me, I'm a proud Italian. I'm very proud. And if I was probably a foot taller, a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, and a little bit younger, and I had the opportunity to represent Italy, I would choose Italy every day of the week. But when we're seeing players from, I'll use Lebanon as an example, right? So Lebanon doing very well at the last couple of World Cups, but full of basically Aussie-born players of Lebanese heritage who wouldn't qualify for the Australian team. I know that's harsh to say, but they wouldn't qualify for the Australian team. Personally, I have no issue with heritage players playing. I mean, look at what Tonga's doing, you know. And like I said, would have loved to have represented Italy. But we need to see more homegrown players, I believe. And this is a touchy subject, so if anyone has any comments, let me know. But I want to see more homegrown players come through the ranks. To me, a true World Cup has players from all over the world, not all over Sydney. And that's just how I feel about it. I love when guys like Gialli Celerino pull on the Azzurri for Italy. I absolutely love that. I love when guys like Ronan Michael pull on the green for Ireland. I love seeing, you know, Alex Weller. What is the best way for these nations to spend their parachute payments? Another good question. So, 20 grand parachute payments, euro, that is, if that is the real number. And I can't imagine it would be much more than that because the IRL aren't exactly flushed with cash. But the advice that I would have for these nations is let's not try and get back to full membership too quickly. There needs to be time taken to grow and grow properly and make sure that these sorts of things don't happen again. Sammy, Lebanon's a very specific example. There are 5 million people in Lebanon and 16 million Lebanese people abroad. Also, the country barely has any professional sport, so I don't think we'll ever see a team with a lot of domestic players. Look, that's a good point. And look, Ireland are the same. Ireland have about 5 million people. They have more. There are more Irish people abroad than in Ireland, but I still think we need to see some Lebanese products come through some sort of pathway. Same with Ireland, same with Italy, same with Scotland. Alan Taylor, Norway went that route and chose to develop their homegrown players in comp instead of heritage players. They sure did. They're going the long way, which isn't necessarily the wrong way. The issue, I think, in these four nations as well, in particular Ireland, Italy and Scotland, is that it's probably tough for them with rugby union being as popular as they are in those nations. So rugby union, obviously very big in Ireland. They're probably one of the best rugby union nations, playing nations in the world at the moment. So very hard for rugby league to make inroads. The rugby union competition is very long domestically over there. Very hard for rugby league to make inroads, and we've seen that. Same with Italy, in a nation where obviously a lot more people in Italy. I think they've got about 60,000 population in Italy. But in a nation where soccer, football is absolutely nuts, rugby union has a certain level of popularity there. Is there room in Italy for two rugbies? It's difficult, and I think there is, but it's difficult for them to make headway. Lebanon, probably a little bit different. I'm not sure how popular rugby union is in Lebanon. But Scotland, same thing. Obviously, more rugby union plays in Scotland. But again, football in all of these nations, soccer is obviously huge. So what I'm seeing a lot of people saying online is they would rather see International Rugby League or the IRL focus on the likes of Greece, Serbia. These are nations where rugby league is already bigger than rugby union. So as the dominant rugby code, there is the best chance for them to grow. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think there's room for everyone. But, you know, both those nations, and Serbia is already a full member as well. Both those nations are growing, doing it the long way and doing it the hard way as well. Some ways to improve for these nations, and I mentioned before, I think they need to do it slowly. I don't think they can be, you know, trying to go too hard, too fast. What I'd love to see is some of these nations using what I call the Greek method. So what Greece have done so well is they focused on Athens, right? They focused on Athens as like a central hub of rugby league. And don't get me wrong, you know, probably the best club in the history of Greek rugby league is from Rhodes, so one of the islands of Greece. But a lot of the clubs that you're seeing there now, and Greece has 6, 7, 8 clubs, a lot of the clubs are in and around Athens. What this means is, in terms of travel, it's a lot easier for these players to get around, because of course it's amateur competition, right? This is not professional. So these guys have jobs, these guys and girls have jobs. So if they can easily get to their away games, then that's a good thing. So what Greece have done is a lot of their clubs are based in Athens. When they're introducing new clubs, they sort of spread out from Athens at the moment. But a lot of the introduction, the clubs they introduce start with Nines. and then they build their way up to 13s and then eventually into their first and second divisions over there. So let's look at how Ireland could do this, right? So Ireland's actually a great example because I think at the moment they had their latest competition, they had two teams playing under the Dublin Exiles sort of flag and two clubs from outside of Dublin. So Ireland could focus on Dublin as an area for growth and an area where they want to build. Makes sense because it's got the biggest population. Focus on Dublin to build 2, 3, 4 clubs that play each other regularly. And you still have room for the likes of the Longhorns and a couple of clubs outside of Dublin as well. But with a more centralized competition, it makes a lot of sense. We see this in the US as well, US and Canada. It's impossible to have an amateur competition that spans across the nation. But by grouping it into states and areas, it's a little bit easier, a lot easier actually. So I'd love to see Ireland look at Dublin as a hub and try and build up as many clubs there as they can and slowly grow out. What you want to do is have 5, 6 clubs, 7, 8 clubs, keep that growing. But I think you probably keep, at first, you keep your domestic season a little bit short because, especially, again, I'm using Ireland as an example, right? But their rugby union seasons are long, all right? They're long seasons. A lot of the players that they're going to use for, oh, sorry, their rugby union seasons are long. A lot of the players they use for league play union. So they play union most of the year, then they have a little break, and the rugby league clubs scrap together whatever they can, right? So what you want to do is have a short league season, maybe 5, 6, 7 rounds plus finals. But then from those clubs, you need to build a national squad. And you want to have 6, 7, 8 international matchups as well. So you have Ireland versus Scotland, or Ireland versus Serbia, or Ireland can go and play the USA, or Ireland can play Greece, or Ireland can play Italy, or whatever have you. So you want to have 6, 7, 8 international matchups with the best of the domestic competition. You want these guys playing together regularly because these guys in your national squad, they're the ones that perhaps, because they're getting to represent their nation, they get the opportunity to represent their nation. Perhaps they're not concerned about going back to rugby union. Perhaps they fall in love with rugby league. Perhaps they choose to prefer rugby league. They're playing together regularly as a national side. They're representing Ireland. They're getting their reps up and they're playing well. These guys become the nucleus and the core of the future of rugby league in Ireland. So, you know, perhaps if these guys are sticking to rugby league all year round, you can start to, you know, at first they're going to be obviously volunteers, but you want to build up to a point where you can sort of maybe pay them. And I'm not saying pay them to play rugby league, but pay them to be your administrators, your coaches, your development officers. These are the guys that are going to stick with you, and they can help the competition grow. So these are the guys that, you know, you're getting them into schools and helping build rugby league in schools. They're playing their national matches, their international matches for Ireland. But also what they do is they become a club. I feel like I'm gibbering on a little bit here, guys. But I'll keep going talking to myself because there's a few here listening. Basically, what they can do is form a club side as well. And I'd love to see like an Ireland club from Dublin playing perhaps in the championship as well. So what you want to do, what we want to do is build pathways to the big leagues. So you want to build up your juniors, build up pathways for in Ireland for players to go through to the English Super League. If we can see more Ronan Michaels, that's fantastic. Italy can do the same, right? So, and you know, that we've seen, you know, there's been attempts to do this and it's been hard during COVID, of course. But Italy, we're seeing hubs in the north of Italy, right? We're seeing hubs in the south of Italy and Sicily. Now, for me, like I mentioned, rugby union is pretty big in Italy. Not as big as soccer though, but it's quite big in Italy. So, and it's quite big in the north of Italy. So, is it hard for Italy to break in the north, or would it be easier for Italy to break into a place like Sicily? Two schools of thought. You know, there's people with more knowledge than me on this. But two schools of thought, because do you want your rugby union players in Italy playing rugby league as well, or do you want to try and find a pool of other talent? I'd love to see a situation in Italy where you've got a conference in the north and a conference in Sicily, and then eventually the best play in an origin style. And I know there's been talk about this from the Italians in the past, but you have the north v south. The north, culturally, the north and the south, there's a hatred there, there's a rivalry there already. So would love to see, you know, some conferences being able to pop up, play each other. And again, similar to what I'm talking about with Ireland, you get the best of the best from the north, and maybe they form a club in Milan. Maybe the best of the best from the south, maybe they form a club in Sicily. And these nation and these clubs play more, try and crack in to the lower divisions in France, or France would probably be best for Italy, to be honest. But a lot of these guys, a lot of these players, they're playing in the national side, they're playing regularly, but you want them to be helping develop, coach, you know, introduce rugby league to schools and help build those pathways into the future. A natural pathway for Italy is to France through the French Elite One as well, and eventually into the Super League as well. Italy has a benefit also of having a great Australian Italian community. So we've seen in the past, you know, the Australian Italian business community sponsoring the Italian side, the Azzurri, and helping them at every World Cup. I'd love to see the Italian Australian business community, you know, being able to help build the game not only during World Cup years, but every year as well. And with a solid plan in place, that can happen. Alan Taylor, what you just said is essentially what the Toronto Wolfpack has become. They were the Wolverines in everything but name. And Alan, I'd be interested to see what you think about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's hard, you know, these are isolated pockets of rugby league. It's hard to have more than one great club side, you know, because that's essentially the national side. But maybe it's the way to start. Maybe it's the way to grow. Because if the Wolfpack, you know, are also Canada, but they're able to rebrand, one minute they're a club, one minute they're the Canada, it could be a way for these players to get more reps together. We kind of see it in Serbia as well. Red Star, you know, a lot of the national side are from Red Star Belgrade as well, because they're the only semi-pro club. So interesting times. So much to be done. So much to be done. Interesting to see what these nations do to rebuild. But all we can do is wait and see. If we have more news at hand, we'll let you know. But unless anyone has any questions, comments, wants to talk, and we've had a few there, so that's fine. We'll leave you for now, and we'll chuck this up on the podcast for anyone else to have a listen. So that sounds about it. Sad to see Ireland, Italy, Lebanon, and Scotland reclassified to affiliate members. I'm sure we'll see them grow back. Alex Weller, hopefully we can get some more fixtures. I think that's the main thing as well. Funnily enough, like the Ireland Rugby League Ireland have been very vocal since this announcement came out. They seem to have, I guess, copped it on the chin and are prepared to keep rebuilding. But there was a comment about how, you know, they're probably free to play more fixtures now that they're not locked into World Cup qualification, which is actually really interesting. But anyhow, we'll see how that plays out. Anyway, I've rambled enough for one night. I've been Michael Carboni. Thanks for chasing kangaroos with me. I'll see you next time.